How to recruit and retain and train your leaders is an inspirational message by Tanya Goya, the children's pastor representing the Southern California District of Four Square Churches. This message was recorded at Bringing to Truth to Life, an intensive for Christian educators, sponsored by the National Department of Four Square Christian Education.
We're going to talk this morning about examining your TQ. So I'd like you, they're at the end of your table. I'd like you to each take a packet. Before we get to that, Rod graciously allowed me to hand out our conference brochure. Nobody has these yet. Jim Scott is coming this afternoon, and you are seeing them before he sees them. He's my boss. So be really nice if you show them to him before I get to talk to him. No, he's seen them. He saw the copy before it went to print. This is our Kids Stuff. What we do for the Southern California District, we have a ministry called Kids Stuff. And the stuff stands for strategically training you. That's you, the children's pastor, the children's worker, anyone who loves kids for the future. And the future is our children. Every year we hold a conference at Church on the Way. And this is our English conference. We also have a Spanish conference, which will be at Angeles Temple. But we've been in prayer. Our team is just awesome. And we've been in prayer and really seeking God. And the Lord just arrested us last summer. And he said, basically, kids in the Holy Spirit. And that's been our heart for about 4 years. And those of you who are from our district, yeah, you're nodding. We know. We've been saying God's going to raise up a generation of children who are going to radically serve him. And they're going to do that their whole life. We call it a Josiah generation. These kids are not going to, your kids, Mindy, you're not going to turn from Jesus because they're going to know him at a young age and they're going to serve him all the days of their life. And everybody who believes that, say amen. Amen. These little girls and my son, we're training them now. They're going to serve him. They're going to be radical. And they already are. Look, these little girls are precious. Sometimes we get into the entertainment mode. We sit back and, oh, how sweet. It's like we're watching Bill Cosby. No, we're to enter into the presence of the Lord because they are leading us right into his presence. It's awesome. So we believe we're Kids in the Spirit, that's what we're calling our conference, and we've invited Van Lane to come from Brownsville Assembly of God, and he's going to be ministering to us. We're having a kids track. We are inviting you to bring your kids as a conference registrant, and we have a whole track designed for children ages 8 to 12 to teach them about the Holy Spirit, to teach them how to worship, to teach them how to pray, as well as teach the adults how to teach the kids. So we're so excited. We can hardly stand ourselves, so what can I say? I had to talk about it. So if you have any more questions, you can ask me later. Lord, just let us get all that we need to get accomplished by 10 o'clock. I'd like you to take out your green sheet, examining your TQ. Now you're just wondering, what in the world is your TQ? Well, I was asked to come and minister to you and give you some encouragement on the topic of recruiting, retaining, and training your volunteers. So that's the name of my title, or my title is Examining Your TQ, alias Recruiting, Retaining, and Training Your Volunteers. You know, it's a real honor to be here with the folks that have been ministering. Wow, you have had a real prestigious group ministering to you, and it's really an honor. Anything that's in my life is purely Jesus, and so I just thank you for allowing me to speak with you this morning. But when I was a children's pastor, and even before that, I found out that there's a few words you really hate. Don't tell my son I say that word. We try not to say that word in our house. We dislike things greatly. But there's a few things I dislike greatly, especially when I was a children's pastor, and that was recruiting. Because you find out very early on that when that person calls you and there's nobody left, guess who goes in? Me. And as a children's pastor, I did a really bad thing for a long time, but I kept putting myself in because there was nobody to put in. And then I recruited my husband because I needed somebody to lead preschool worship. So he would go into the worship service with Dennis Easter, and they'd do the worship and the praise because he was the associate pastor. And Perry would do all the adult stuff. During greeting time, I'm back to the preschool department and minister with me and help me out and do some preschool songs. Perry, if you know Perry, used really big words and the preschoolers didn't understand it, but they loved his songs. And so then he'd come back and then he'd be, you know, in the adult service. And that's how we got through. But I'm here to give you some relief. It doesn't have to be like that. We do need to recruit and we do need to retain and we do need to to train our volunteers because why?
How come the children's department always has this problem? How come it's always the children's department that has the flyer in the bulletin?
Hmm?
And you know what your church is doing? Oh, no, not this again. They're just going, yeah, there she goes. Yeah, why don't she use cuter graphics this time? She's coming up to speed. Oh, yeah, Tanya's in the 90s before they end. Oh, the good for her, you know. But they see it again and again and again. Why? Because we have babies. We have little people who need care. They need oversight. They need protection. They need nurturing. They need guidance. They need one-on-one or as many on-one as we can give them. They don't need that. In the youth, they do, but we don't tell them. Junior high, you don't need what we have. We need people. Children's ministries demand people. So no matter what we do, we can't get away from the need to recruit. So I thought, here we have this great need. How are we going to attack? I like to attack things. How are we going to attack this subject of recruiting and training and teaching your volunteers without giving you the top 10 hottest ideas that I could possibly think of? I called my friends is what I did. I called some children's pastors in our district who are doing some wonderful things. And I did get some good ideas for you, and we're gonna have some ideas, and some of the ideas are going to come from you because we're going to get together this morning in some group stuff. But I thought, Lord, what is the key? How can I recruit? How can we train people? How can we keep people, for goodness sake, and not just keep recruiting and training and saying goodbye? That's bittersweet, isn't it? You pour your life, and then people leave because they're tired, and you have to stay. I thought, Lord, how can we attack this? And this is what the Lord put on my heart. He said, Tanya, think about leadership. And if you get this, you can leave. When you don't have to stay for the rest of what I'm going to say. This is my premise this morning. The way you recruit, the way you train, and the way you retain your volunteers is dependent upon your leadership style. The way you get people to come into children's ministries, the way you recruit. I originally thought this was all recruiting until I got the schedule in the mail on my fax last week, and it was retaining and training. So I kind of have broadened this out, but I really focused on recruiting. But the way you're going to recruit people is dependent on your leadership style. So this morning, let's look at you. So I want you to turn to the yellow page, okay? And I want you to draw a self-portrait. I want you to draw a self-portrait. Draw yourself stick figure. If you need paints, we'll oblige you. I want you to draw your picture. Draw your picture. Stick figure. Oh, I see some gals are really getting into this. But, you know, they look good. Their picture's going to look... Oh, now some people are not even... You don't know me. I will come around. I have a habit of doing this. I teach this way. You see, I used to be a third grade teacher, a sixth grade teacher. I used to be a principal. This is another one of my theories. Teach adults the same way you teach children, right? Oh, see, I know Colleen, look, she's got eyebrows. Got yourself portrait. Oh, look at this. Hey, ha-ha, I love this. He's a worshiper. Good for you, Lloyd. I met you the other day. I was in my husband's office. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This is good. You are the most important thing. When you think about recruiting, you know what? We are so desperate in children's ministries. We are so desperate. We think, oh, I need one more person to teach those 4 and 5 year olds. I'm so, Perry, what am I going to do? I just go down the phone list 4 and 5 times. I think about people who just came to the church. Well, they just know Jesus, but maybe they'll learn about the Lord while teaching 4s and 5s. But then I've got to back off of my frustration and my absolute dependence desperation because Sunday is coming, by the way. And I've got to pull back and realize it's me. How do I lead? And what am I saying as the children's pastor that's going to want people to follow me? Am I the type of leader people want to follow? What message am I bringing to the church? Am I just bringing a message that says, desperate Tanya needs workers? Or is there another message as a leader that I am bringing to my church that's bringing a whole vision, that's bringing a whole mindset of saying, this is why Tanya Goyes is the children's pastor. You know, it's not that easy to recruit on a district level either. As the children's pastor for the district, it's just a little bit bigger. One of my dear, dear friends, Elizabeth Ewan, said, you know, Tanya, I've worked in small churches and I've worked in big churches. And the small we have the same problem. She said, on Saturday night, I'm just as desperate as the children's pastor from the small church, where they are looking for one person and they just go down that directory and they need one person for that class. She goes, well, I need 10 or sometimes 20. It's the same thing. But your leadership style is going to determine, it is superimposed over the way you recruit people, over the way you train people. Wouldn't you just like to recruit like Jesus? Oh, come, follow me. And they dropped their nets and they went with him. It takes a little bit more. So now you know, you can go back to the green sheet. I want you to think you. Think your leadership style. You know, the way we conduct ourselves says a lot to your volunteers, your children's ministry staff, your team. Even if you are a teacher here, your kids. How you lead is going to say a lot about yourself and what you believe. So what I would like you to do is I would like you to take a few minutes and fill out the white page, which is actually our third page, the leadership, style of leadership questionnaire. And you're going to find out a few things about yourself this morning. I actually have three different tests for you to totally boggle your brain. Three different ways that you can find out about yourself. I want you to take this test. It won't take long. And it's going to tell you a little bit of the kind of leader that you are. But things for me personally have gone much better internally. Once I began to understand some of my strengths and understand my weaknesses and began to build toward helping out my weaknesses. There's a test we'll do in just a minute. It's one of the most fun tests I've ever done in my life. I do it. I take it everywhere I go. And in there, it will really tell what your weaknesses are, and one that the type that I tend to be. I want to tell you this too. You will change in life, and as Jesus keeps working on you and you allow the Holy Spirit to refine you, you're going to find that you're not stuck in a personality trait. This is not God's word to you. This is just a tool to help you understand some things about you as a leader today. Jesus is always refining us so that we're going to look like him and be his bride. So this isn't thus saith the Lord, any word or superimposed over your life by any means. Okay, I'm going to let you finish, but I'm going to keep going here. As I have begun to understand a little bit about how I work, it helps me in my leadership skills. And as I was preparing this, I thought, my goodness, that really is how I go about recruiting. As I began to really look into this and think how I have recruited for kids stuff, what we do. Now, how I recruit on a district level. How do I get people to be involved with what I do? It really comes out of some of the things I'm going to share this morning, but it comes out of a leadership style. Now, let's look at this as I know some of you are still tallying. Look at turn your page over where it says, it describes the type of leader. Was anyone a let me help you leader? Let me help you. Okay. Those are good leaders. A resource person whose first instinct is to assist others in doing their job. It sounds like a mercy person. Hmm? A little mercy in there. He is the classic servant type leader. How would a let me help you person recruit? How is a let me help you person going to go get some teachers? Model by serving. Okay, anyone else? How is that servant leader? How are they going to, a servant type, how are they going to recruit? How are they going to train? How are they going to work with those volunteers? Any ideas? Let me help you become what God wants you to be. Good. My dad is a servant leader. He's a pastor in Ohio. And, you know, he's constantly picking people up on Sunday morning. They have a number of people in their church that are... developmentally challenged. These guys can't drive. My dad picks them up, and he spends probably 45 minutes on the road to an hour before the hour that he gets to service to do the church service, picking these guys up. Because Eddie wouldn't have a drop. He wouldn't be able to get to church. But that's a servant leader. A servant leader is going to lead by modeling. Okay, let's go. I like this one. Let's go. How would this type of leader lead? Any ideas? Anybody one of these? Is anyone a let's go? Just a few of us? Okay. How do you think Mary Lou, for sure. She's a double let's go. A progress and result-oriented leader who is capable of initiating changes and launching new programs. They're quick-acting. They're adventurous. They're a risk-taker. How are they going to recruit someone? You're just going to corral people, and you're going to sign them up before they even know what they did. It's wonderful to have people who take initiative. People think out of the box. I think if we could have a theme for 99, it'd be, let's think out of the box. Let's do some new things. Let's go. Okay, let's be careful. Anyone a let's be careful? Okay. How's a let's be careful person going to recruit or train their teacher? Any ideas? A thorough planner who strives for excellence? I believe the gal who oversees our children's ministries, Renee, you guys know Terry Long. Terry is an incredible planner. I wouldn't necessarily categorize her as a let's be careful person, but she has everything planned out. She called me once and said, now when are we planning John's birthday party? Oh my gosh, it was like 2.5 months early. His birthday's in October. This was like August. I hadn't even gotten through kids camp, you know, and it was like, oh, and what theme are you going to use for your son's birthday party? And are you having it at your house this year? Last year you had it for the whole church. But, you know, this year, you know, you talked about just doing something smaller. What do you think you're going to do, Tanya? And I was like, wow. Whoa, it's not even October. I'll think about it in October. See ya. Because that's kind of how I operate. But she's a very careful planner. And the thing, when she has her plan, things go beautifully, beautifully. Careful planner. Let's stay together. Is anyone a let's stay together? Oh, I love you guys. How's a let's stay together person going to work with their volunteers? How are they going to do some teacher training? What do you think? Pizza! All right. Yeah. I'll come work at your church. Look at those benefits. Anyone else? Let's stay together. My husband, I think, would be a classic let's stay together. He takes his Bible college students. He takes them to the coffee shop. I called him on the cell phone once, like, hello? They're in the coffee shop, having class, talking about Psalms. But Perry's like, let's stay together. Let's have a group. And you know what? People need that. People need that. They need that warmth. They need to feel that they're a part of you. So as you recruit, see, you're going to recruit from your style. A thorough planner, by George, they're going to have that insert that goes in that bulletin. They're going to have it in August when it's due in October, right? Yeah, huh? You bet your booties. They're planned. They're ready to go. Another gal who works with us on kids stuff, she is such a thorough planner. She has things planned 5 months ahead of time before her team meetings even start. She knows exactly who's going to be where and how she's going to nurture her volunteers. She's a very thorough planner. Let's go. Guys, you're going to think out of the box. You've got things planned. You're on the road before the day has even dawned. Okay? But you're going to lead out of that style. And I just want to bless you in Jesus' name and say, go for it. Don't be intimidated because you're not using a multimedia presentation that another person who's extremely creative and they only think in terms of multimedia presentations. They couldn't do a brochure if you paid them. Or they wouldn't be able to stand up and give the church their heart and say, you know, I just love kids. They wouldn't be able to do that. I want to release you in your gift. Your next page is a purple page. This is another way to look at yourself as a leader. Okay? This is called the managerial grid. On the left-hand side is a concern for people. The bottom is zero. That means you have zero concern. Okay? You should not be in the ministry, but some people are, even if they're zeros. We pray for them at the altar regularly. And number nine, on a nine, you love people. You have them. You're those. What were you?
Let's stay together. Number nine, you're way up. You just love people. You just, all you think about are people, people, people. You just love people. Okay, that's concern for people. So the concern can go from zero to nine. Now here's the other side. Task. Zero task. Oh, we'll get the job done sometime. These are people who are not very motivated on the production scale. To a number nine. Highly motivated. Task, task, task. Get the job done. Get production done. Get the work done. Get those recruiters. Get those people filled. Get it done. Now, look at the type of leaders. This may help you also to figure out a little bit about yourself or to say, Jesus, how can I improve? You have a distressed leader at the bottom. They don't care about people, and they don't care about the task. You know, someone just asked them to serve in kids' ministry, and they're there. But they're praying for that person that should be filling the task. Okay? That's a very distressed and lonely leader. The task-oriented, unfortunately, we've all been there. You know, we think, wow, how did I wind up ahead of this? Task-oriented leadership. Now, the beauty of the Spirit of God is you may have gotten into children's ministry in a distressed level. You had no idea. But God, by His Spirit, can move you to a place of fruitfulness. Amen? Amen. And He works on us. We think He missed it. What am I doing? Why am I serving four and five? But He didn't miss it. A task-oriented leadership, you are going to get the job done no matter what it takes with little regard for people. One of my friends said, yes, Tanya, I was very task-oriented, and there were a lot of dead bodies behind me. Yep, she's a children's pastor of a very strong church. But she said, I always got the job done, but I hurt a lot of people along the way. You know what? Sometimes we worship getting that thing done. We worship it. And we really hurt people along the way. Okay, let's look at the other one. The relationship-oriented leader, this is that pizza coffee person. They just love you, love you, love you, love you. And the task, well, it'll happen. It'll happen. Oh, yeah, we were having a teacher training meeting tonight, but you know what? So-and-so's uncle is, you know, very, very sick and on his deathbed for the fourth time, and we just had to pray it through. So, relationship-oriented. They're going to put the task completely aside to get the job done. Integrated leadership, this is like a team approach. They're going to integrate a lot of responsibility to people. They're gonna give people authority and responsibility and let a team do the job. And you won't see the leader as much because the team takes the responsibility. And then in the middle you have an equalized leadership where it's a mix of you're gonna have your team and you're gonna work for your task, but you're gonna have a lot of care for people. It's pretty balanced. We need to think about ourselves because why would people want to follow you? Do they want to follow you if they see our negatives? See, do they want to follow us if they say, wow, you know, Tanya, every year, boy, she has that Kid Stuff conference and she gets those things done. I don't see, like, this trail of hurt and despair, my family or whatever. If I was like that, I could be very easily. Get the job done. Work first. Hard work. Perry and I love to work. It's fun. But, especially when it's for Jesus. Well, why would people want to follow us? If I'm only task-oriented and I'm not nurturing people, or why would people want to follow me if all I do is I just love the sheep and my Sunday school is a shambles? We're not going anywhere. We haven't changed in 4 years, 5 years. We've got the same program going and we're not making any changes. But I sure love my people and they're real loyal. Well, you know, let's think about ourselves. And as we go to recruit and as we go to share, let's take a hard look at ourselves. Okay, now this is my most fun thing in the world, so you just have to humor me. Okay? How many of you have done this with me? Ah-ha-ha! Don't tell! Don't tell! I want you to look at these. This is the easiest thing you're going to do today. Look at these and decide which shapes are your favorite and number them from 1 to 5. 1 being your most favorite shape and 5 being your least favorite. This is not hard. I hope I don't see any tears back there. You're not crying, are you? It's just a shapes test. This is really fun. And everything I've given you, you can hopefully take home. Do it with your workers. They love this thing. Okay. How many people? Are you done? Okay, you got to be done. This is like, you're done in Jesus' name. Yeah. Okay, woo! How many people, your most favorite shape, the one that describes you most, is a box? Aha, you're very organized. You guys are, you just think in boxes. You're four square. Well, we are four boxes. You are very organized. The gal who leads our children's ministries, she is a box. She is tenacious about having things organized and together. My husband is handing out the little descriptor page that will tell you what all these are like. And I don't have one for some reason. How many people were triangles? Triangles. You are Lynn Sawyer. We know this about you. This woman is driven. She is, and Mary Lou, strong personalities, strong visionary, strong leader. They're out there. They're going to take charge. If they're in a group and no one's taking charge, well, you know, let's get the show on the road. They're take charge kind of people. They're that let's go kind of personality. Get the job done. How many people were circles? Oh, you know what kind of people you are? You just love. You want everybody to feel loved. The first thing you're going to do is just, how are you doing? Are you doing okay? Yeah, you're naughty because I think you saw yourself in that circle. Sweetie, can I have one of those? Because I'm just... Okay. And the circles are friendly, nurturing, persuasive. Have you ever done something because someone's just been so nice and you just can't believe you said yes? That circle will help talk you. They'll just have you signed right up to children's ministries and you didn't even know it. The leader, the triangle, Mary Lou and Lynn, you are both focused, decisive, ambitious, competitive, bottom line and athletic. I can see that in both of those gals. The folks who are boxes, you're organized, you're detailed, you're informed, you're analytical, determined, persevering, and patient. Okay, the circle, you're empathetic, stabilizing, reflective. How many of you were squiggles? Anybody a squiggle? I'm a squiggle. Okay, guys, we are creative, conceptual, futuristic, intuitive, expressive, motivating, and witty. Okay, hallelujah. The problem is, go down to the bottom of the page. Oh, the rectangles. Anyone a rectangle? When I first did this, I was a rectangle. You, my dear, it means you are in transition. It's an exciting time of your life. And it means that just things are changing. I really think it's a person who was probably more analytical in their thinking, and you're changing to something new. Anyway, down on the bottom, you will see the personal habits for every shape. You know, the box, you love routine. So if you're going to think about, if you are more of a box type person in your thinking, when it gets time to recruit, you might want to think, you know, I tend to love routine. How can I change? How can I change my teacher training this year? A triangle? Well, it says here you've got addictions. No. You know, it may tell you how to focus. You know, it says interrupts, game player, early arriver. It's interesting. A rectangle for forgetful, avoids variety. Circle, we're easygoing. Squiggle, spontaneous and disorganized. I'm sorry, that nailed me right there. That tends to happen to me. You will lead from your areas of strength and areas of weaknesses. So I've given you these three different things this morning so you can look at yourself, and number one, you can think, you. How do I lead? And am I the type of leader that people need to follow? And Jesus, help me to become more like you. If I am disorganized, Tanya Goya, Jesus, show me areas that I can become more organized. Lord, if I've been doing something in the same format for a number of years, help me, Lord, to think out of the box. Help me, Lord, to do something refreshing for recruiting. Number two on your green sheet. So that's kind of fun. Now I want you to take your little bag. You're going to look at your green sheet. Now you can open your bag. I have 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I want you to think vision as a leader. You need, when people look at you, they should think, every time they see you, they should see vision. They look at you, they should say, not all your stuff. Get out the Play-Doh. I'm known as the Play-Doh queen. I brought you Play-Doh. And those of you who know me, we're not going to do what you think we're going to do. We're going to do something different. Get out the Play-Doh. When people look at you, they should think vision. Get that Play-Doh, and I want you to work it in your hands. And when they look at you, they should see vision. They should see children. They should weep and fall at your feet because they want to serve. Because when they look at you, they should say, Tanya Goya, she loves kids. And you know why? As a leader, here's your Play-Doh. It is your responsibility to shape the vision in your church. It's your responsibility. Shape the vision for kids in your church. Sure, you're going to partner with your pastor. Really helps if you're married to him. But it is up to you to shape the vision. I loved what the gal in the back said. Tell your pastor that we could do this on Sunday. Yeah. Yeah, I did that. I did that with Dennis Easter. If you know Dennis Easter, he is a super triangle. He is a very strong leader. He's choleric. He has a charismatic personality. He's strong. I would always go, hey, Dennis, how about this? Can we do a skit? And you know, we had done things like that, but I was shaping vision. And you know what? We get tired. I get really tired sometimes of continually shaping vision for my district. I love it. Kid stuff is my passion. But I get really tired sometimes of working on that vision. And you know what? That's when I need to get back in the prayer closet. I need to get my focus back on Jesus. And I've got to keep plowing. Keep the vision. It's up to you. Shape that vision. And you know what? You're not only shaping vision for your church so that when they look at you, see, this says 1999, but every time they look at you, they should be like this. They should look at Nancy and they should go, oh man, Nancy Gorky loves kids and I know why she's here. She wants to see kids in this church just full of Jesus. And every time they look at you, it would be as if you had these glasses on and they go, oh, there's Tanya Goya again. I am so happy that I'm getting a reputation that people know that I want a generation of, I know it's going to sound funny with these glasses on, I would like to see a generation of children serve Jesus. Nah, it sounds funny with these. But I have, honestly, the Kids Stuff team and the folks that serve with us here, we've asked in Southern California, we want a generation. And you know what? It takes a lot of work. We want a generation of kids, Lord. How are we going to keep shaping that vision? On a district level, we want a generation of kids in Los Angeles. We want a generation of kids in Southern California. We keep shaping that vision. It's up to you. So every time you've got to shape that vision, you've got to get that vision into people. You've got to talk that vision. You've got to have pizza, and you've got to go, hey, and guess what's in my heart? I want kids. I want a whole generation. If you're into, you know, you're more task-oriented, on that brochure, it should get them in their heart. It should say, I want a generation of kids in Los Angeles. I can hardly wait till you sign up because I want you here. It's up to you to shape that vision. And whatever your gifting is, you go for it. And you get that vision in people. I'm going to brag on you, Martha Dale. Martha Dale is just awesome gal. She's a tremendous children's pastor in Simi Valley. And I've just grown to love her just tremendously. She's a sister. How neat. I love the kingdom of God. It's just awesome. Martha Dale Lord's been brewing a vision for kids. So she's just started planting that vision in kids' hearts. Now she's got this little prayer meeting happening on Thursdays at her church where kids are learning to pray. And so I put in a prayer request via someone else that, oh, by the way, could you tell the kids to have them pray for the Kids Stuff Conference because, I had a whole bunch of things. The word got back to me. The kids are already praying. Yeah. But the thing is, Martha Dale puts vision in kids' hearts. You got to work, keep the vision. And so when people look at Martha Dale now, they think kids, and they think prayer, and they think, she's a lady who's going to teach kids how to pray. But when they look at you, they need to see kids. They need to see your vision for children or families, if you're a family pastor. Every time people look at you, they should say vision. It should say vision. And you know what? As a visionary,
It is your responsibility to keep your focus. Keep the focus.
There's a lot of good things we can be involved in, but stay focused. Focus, focus.
And keep the vision. Keep it alive. You know what? You've got to have people around you. Get a team. Get people with you.
Get some intercessors going and praying for you, praying for children's ministries, praying for family ministries, because nothing happens without prayer, and I'm not going to talk about that now, but you need to have prayer. You need to be in prayer. You need to build yourself up. But nothing happens just because. We need to start praying. Pray. But think vision. Think vision all the time and keep yourself focused. Okay, number three, Terry Long at our church, we do religious release, and it's been a very small group of kids who come to our church on Thursday afternoons for religious release, which means Terry can teach them all about Jesus in the afternoons, and it's awesome. Well, no one's really been too excited about it. We've been praying about it for like 2 years. Guess what? This fall we had 42 kids. We're packing that thing out. Guess what Terry's been telling our church? Our church is situated right across the street from an elementary school. These are where these kids come from. She's been telling our church, this is her vision. I want to see the Hubbard Street School auditorium filled with children on Thursday afternoons for religious release. I want to see that auditorium filled with children. So when people look at her, they're thinking, Terry wants to see that auditorium filled with children on Thursday afternoons for religious release. I better get over there and help. And now we have 42 kids. We're packing out our classrooms. And pretty soon, we're going to have to go to the auditorium because our church is too small. But when people looked at Terry, they're now seeing her with her vision because she began to communicate her vision and put it in people's hearts. And it's up to you. Keep shaping that vision. Keep putting it in people's hearts. In whatever wonderful gifting God has given you, every one of these gifts that we analyzed this morning are tremendous and are wonderful. Number three, think people. Think people. We need to love people. We need to love people. Do you love people? Are we just more interested in just filling that spot? Filling that spot. Build people first. I won't take time to go into it. This is a tremendous book, Managing the Nonprofit Organization by Peter Drucker. You know how they built the Girl Scouts? They went out into the communities and they looked for people who would want to be leaders, who had vision for young women to be trained, who would have a vision for Girl Scouts. And they went out into the communities and tried to find those kind of people. They built people first. And they said that is their key for building their whole big volunteer staff, if you will. We need to think people first and not position. We need to really build up people. You see, your greatest recruiting tool is going to be word of mouth. You build people. Why should people serve at children's ministries for you? Are you nice to them? You know, that is the thought. Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. Or sometimes we don't even say hello. You know, oh yeah, they're in their class. Phew, bye. Oh yeah, oh crayons, yeah, I'll go get them. And we're so busy, and this person has prepared, and they've been in prayer, and they're teaching those children and leading them to Jesus. We're not even friendly. We're not even nice. We need to build up people. We need to care for, we need to nurture our staff. Build up people. And you know what? People will tell people, and pretty soon you're going to get a grassroots movement going. At Regent University, which is where Perry and I met, that's at CBN in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and I, after I graduated there, I served as an admission counselor. And occasionally on the 700 Club, they would advertise, come to, then it was known as CBN University. Come to Regent. Come to CBN. And they would get a lot of people. Admissions would just get a lot of calls. What we found in admissions, our greatest marketing tool was word of mouth. I went to Regent University because of what my folks told me the place was like. Perry went because his mom had been involved and told him what it was like. People will be involved in children's ministries because they've told their friends how awesome it is to serve and be a part of your vision. And I'll be so excited
it's going to recruit. So you get your vision into people, and you're going to have to do the flyers. You're going to have to do some skits. You're going to have to do those things. You get your vision inside of people, and they're going to get their vision inside of other people. And guess what? That's not just the goal, is to get our vision inside of workers. We want to reach the children. We want to get kids turned on to Jesus. So get your vision. Build up people. Talk vision to people. When you get with people, talk with them and build that, so then vision goes right into recruitment. If people catch what you're doing, they're going to go along with you. So pull out of your bag hats. As for vision and recruiting, this is your recruiting tool. Come, there you go. Come follow me. Okay, that's your new recruiting tool. Okay, all right, I have got to go. All righty, pull out. Time out. It's always a risk doing these things. Pull out your crayon. This is, by the way, you know, you're going to get people's attention. I dare you. Try this at church. You know, would you sign up for kids ministry? I learned this at an intensive. A crayon. Train your teachers. Every successful company trains their employees. Too many times we sign people up and they don't even know what they're doing there. But you know what? They need to be invested in. We need to put vision in their hearts, and we need to say, you know, this is what we're doing. We're working with these kids, and we have a vision for worship. And we want these little guys to be worshipers, so this is what we're going to do. Can you come over on Saturday morning down at the church? We're going to have this little worship time with kids, and I just want to show you the ropes. It takes time, guys, and it's a risk always in investing, but your investment will not come back without return. That's biblical. That's the parable of the talents. Invest in people. Take time to train them. Take time to tell them what you expect and what you need. Train them. We're training with crayons because pencils were too expensive. I'm sorry. You know what I wrote down here? Teacher training. Do it. Just do it. I think that would help a lot of us out. Many of us just don't do that. The last thing this morning, look at these little kisses. You can eat these. I want you to do this to your teachers. You're not kissing up. You're going to love them. You're going to nurture them. You are going to give them kisses. There are, do you know, you have non-money motivators. You don't have to spend a dime. Mark Twain said, I can live for a month on one good compliment. You can think of something nice to say. I am so thankful you are teaching 4s and 5s. Do you know, Maria, that you are an answer to my prayer for stepping in the nursery? Thank you for being here today. Boy, I love that craft. Isn't that cute? Thank you so much. Thank yous. Thank you. Thank you. It will go a long way. Nurture your volunteers. There's a lot of great ideas out there. What you can do to say thanks. How you can appreciate. At my Kids Stuff Committee, I try to diligently, every time we have a meeting, I try to do something for them, to bless them, to show them that Tanya Goya, as a person, not as an employee of the district, but in my soul, I am thankful they are there. I've known that they have gone to great lengths, and they've expended themselves to serve Kids Stuff. And so I'll give them a book. I'll give them treats. I try to verbally thank them and say the things that matter. And I don't mean flattery. I mean it from your heart. If you value the people who've spent their time to work with you and to invest in your vision, you're going to retain your workers.